I'm so excited that we have Innovate Digital Solutions as a sponsor of HeCast this season. Innovate Digital Solutions provides anything that an office might need, hardware, software, IT, copy machines, things like that. They make an office run more smooth, and they're really good at it. But one of the things that I love about Innovate, their founders, Andre and Katia Brasso, they're people that don't just believe it's important to build a strong business, but also to take that success and build a strong community around them. They really have a heart for what HeChanged is doing. People they love have gone through some of the stuff that we talk about on this show. Andre and Katia both believe that you can build a life worth living, and there are these evidence-based solutions that can help build that life. We're so excited to be in partnership with Innovate Digital Solutions, and HeChanged It is better for it, and we hope you will be too. Go to innovate.ca and check them out.
Welcome to HeCast, the official podcast of HeChanged It. My name is Mike Chisholm. I am so excited to be doing season two of HeCast. You know, season one was 110 episodes or more or less, basically weekly, and we had this huge schedule of and consistency of releasing these things, and it was a really great experience. Now we're working on season two. We've got guests who were on in season one and new guests who have been inspired by either the podcast itself or what HeChanged It is. Go to HeChangedIt.com and check out what HeChanged It's all about. Download the app. Please download the app. The links are right there on HeChangedIt.com for whatever your technological persuasion is. We're really excited about the future, what's going on. It's been amazing to watch this thing go from infancy in its concept to actual application into the store, the beta, and watch that beta evolve as to where we are right now, and then seeing where things are, it looks like, happening sooner than later, horizon wise. Really, really neat experience watching this. The best part about it is we've seen people who have been helped by what it is that we're doing already. There is nothing more gratifying than that. We're really excited about this. And this season, we've got some amazing guests that are going to come on, today being no exception. Carlo Taormina is today's guest. Now, started his career as a physical trainer, had a setback, an amazing story, dealing with depression. He has what he called in the episode a hell week. And boy, it was. And it led to a place where, for the first time in his life, he dealt with something, called depression. And many men have dealt with that and don't know how to get out of it. His was a year-long experience. He talks about what it felt like. And I want to throw a disclaimer out there. Okay. So he talks about some of the things that he went through, including things like suicidal ideation and things like that. So I just want to have that warning here for this episode. We get into some heavy stuff, but the good news, I'm going to tell you right now, the story ends very happily. And the story is still ending happily. It's still going on, because now he's not just a personal trainer. He's actually a personal coach for people, a life coach, a performance coach. He speaks to Fortune 500 companies. He's a speaker and some amazing things. And the thing that propelled him to where he is now is the adversity that he faced and he learned how to go through and he went through. And it's a really cool story. I'm really excited. So HeCast is so grateful to welcome Carlo to this episode of HeCast. Please download the app. Please like, share, subscribe, all of that crap. And without further ado, please enjoy this episode of HeCast, the official podcast of HeChanged It. I'm really, really excited about this here. We've had so many episodes already and guests talk about depression. I know that is only a smidgen of your story, but it's a major smidgen of that story. Who you are now, the idea of going from a personal trainer, to a life coach and speaker and all of these things, you've learned a lot. And, I'm really excited that you've taken time out of your insane schedule to be on HeCast today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. You know, I appreciate it. It's a pleasure and I just can't wait to get into it.
Yeah, it's great. Obviously, I want to get to your story because there's a lot of guys out there, a lot of middle-aged men, some present company included here, who might have
focus their entire life on connecting the dots that we were supposed to connect. Maybe not necessarily being as present or as mindful as we could, because there's just so much going on. We're in a busy world, all of these crazy distractions, and our mental health many times takes a back seat, or frankly gets the crap beaten out of it without us even knowing it. And then suddenly a full stop happens. That D word that a lot of people don't like talking about, depression. I want to know your story, and then we can kind of bounce in and out of some other places while that happens. Can you please give us, tell us your story? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, of course. So basically what happened for me is, it's kind of funny because not until after I kind of overcame depression, I found out I was kind of depressed kind of before I was diagnosed as being depressed. However, when I was clinically, that was like when it was like really serious. Mm-hmm. So back in 2020, towards like right before Christmas, this is when I like to have, I had what I like to call a hell week, right? So it's like everything that could go wrong did go wrong in that 1 week. And that's where I just like broke, you know. During that week, I had a very serious back injury. I had a herniated disc in my back. I don't know if you or anyone knows the severity of that, but it is, does not tickle. It's very painful. And I couldn't really walk for a period of time. And that just devastated me. Yeah. You know, and as a guy who, you know, I love fitness, you know, I put it on a pedestal. It's just like, it's part of like my identity. I have to do something to move. And for me not to be able to do that was just a knife to the heart, right? And on top of that, there was a job I actually had. I was actually a manager of a gym at the time.
Yep.
Right before Christmas, right before my birthday, I got fired from that job. And on top of that, there was this young lady I was seeing at the time, you know, I was madly in love with her, you know, she felt the same, and we were like, oh, we're gonna get married, we're gonna have kids, and she was the one who like brought all that stuff up on first. I was like, okay, sure, let's ride this train. And then like one day out of nowhere, she just calls me and says, yeah, I want to break up. And I was like, oh God. And
it hits you out of nowhere. Like, this isn't one of those ones where you kind of see the writing on the wall and all that. It gobsmacked you.
Yeah. Like I wasn't expecting it. Like, we were supposed to go on this like trip like the day before. And she's like, you know, I'm just really not feeling good. I was like, oh, okay, sure. And then like the next day she calls me. She's like, yeah, I want to break up. I was like, okay. It's like at like one state. Yeah. It's like one state. I want to get married and have kids. The next day, it's like, I don't want to see you anymore. And I was like, okay. And then on top of that, not only was I working a job that I lost, but I was also, at the time, a personal trainer doing my own thing on the side as an online coach.
Yeah.
And I was just bleeding money out of the ears, man. Like, I was spending money on advertising. I had coaches trying to help me, and I didn't do anything. I was just losing money. So in this week, I get hurt and I can't walk. I lose a job. I lose a girlfriend. I'm losing money because my business is not doing well. Mm-hmm. So I kind of just did one of those things where, like, I imagined I was at this art gallery. I took a giant step back to look at the big picture, and I looked at my life. I was like, what's going on? Like, what just happened? And I just fell apart. I broke apart. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to really behave. You know, I didn't get any closure from that failed relationship, and just everything kind of smacked me all at once from each and every direction. I didn't know how to react to that. Mm-hmm. And in response, I legit just said, I give up. Like, I've been trying so hard to make something of myself. You know, I've been trying to keep a good head on my shoulders. You know, mm-hmm. I learned from my parents who, you know, separately immigrated to this country. My dad had the cliche American dream story, came here with nothing, built himself up. And all I wanted to do was mimic that, because like, if my dad can do it, then I can do it. You know, that's how I've always thought. And all I wanted was just to be somebody, you know, and we're going to get into that later of why that was so important to me. But all I wanted to do was just make an impact, help people, do something great with my life. And it seemed no matter what I tried to do, something went wrong. Okay, so I just gave up. I was like, screw it.
I got to ask a question about this. Now, when you're saying you gave up, I just want to accentuate that a little bit. We're talking about the big gave up. Yeah. Like this is the I'm done kind of a give up, a rock bottom moment, to say the least, right? That's where we're at here.
100%. Like, I laid in bed every day for a year.
Okay. So I want to go before that. because, you know, a back injury, you're used to fitness, you're into this place. There are many folks who don't necessarily go down the path of, you know, introspection, personal development, all these sorts of things, because if physical fitness is their thing, physical fitness does so much for that stuff. Like, it does so much for your brain chemicals. It does so much to help you not just have a healthy body, but a mindset as well. Like, it's such a major piece of the puzzle. Before this rock bottom moment, had you ever gone down the path of personal development, mindfulness, introspection? Had you ever delved into that stuff, or was it mostly physical at this point?
Oh, it was both. You know, I've always been
you had tools, you had mental tools as well. Okay. Yeah.
Absolutely. And you know, that was another thing that kind of took a blow to me, is like, I'm doing what I'm learning. Like, I'm learning from like the Tony Robbins, the Jim Rohns, the Dale Carnegies, like, I'm reading, I'm watching, like, where is the what's the word I'm looking for? The evidence. I was like, where is it?
Yeah, where's the success in these principles that I have affected to my life and I've built my life around to build a big life? But that is, and the reason I asked that question is, in my other podcast, I recently had talk show legend Dick Cavett on, and Dick Cavett is an advocate for depression, and he had talked about this. And one of the worst things that you can say to somebody who is depressed is a platitude from someone like a Jim Rohn or a Carnegie or someone like that, or a, you know, snap out of it or just cheer up, because it's not, they're not related at all. Clinical depression is very, very different than, you know, and there are times that these tools can actually, you know, not allow you to realize there's this thing going on in the background. And I just want to kind of bring that point around. There's a lot of guys out there who are doing the right things and yet still become depressed. You guys are not alone when it comes to that. 100%. They're different animals. And you've experienced it in a very dramatic way.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, absolutely.
So you have your rock bottom moment, you're giving up, and let's talk about that moment. Let's talk a little bit about that.
So
what it looked like and how you climbed out of it.
So what it looked like was, I laid in bed every day for a year. I, you know, eventually I could walk again, you know, and I was trying to do physical therapy. It wasn't really helping, but I could walk. I was managing the pain. But every day I just laid in bed by choice. You know, I barely left my bedroom. I cut off communication with my family, not out of like disrespect and not because like they treated me poorly, but it was just because I felt so guilty, so ashamed, so embarrassed, and I didn't want to talk to anybody.
Was that overwhelm as well? Like, was it a chore to text your family, that sort of thing? Did it seem like that was an insurmountable thing to do, task?
Yeah, it was a chore just to get up, like, brush my teeth, take a shower. Like, there are days, like, I'll be honest with you, my personal hygiene was not the best. Like, I just didn't want to do anything, you know? And, you know, fast forward to probably, like, early springtime, where my family was, like, edging me to go to therapy. And I was like, I don't want to go to therapy. Like, it was very hard for me to express myself how I'm feeling to you guys. Like, that was near impossible, let alone telling a complete stranger that I'm dealing with depression and suicidal ideation. Like, mm-hmm. I can't do that. Eventually they broke me down. They're like, just try it. Just try something different. So I was like, okay. So I went to therapy and I did it for some months. And although I am an advocate for therapy, I think it's great. Mm-hmm. It just didn't help me. It didn't give me what I needed. And I think partially because of that is because I just was not in the right state to accept any information, you know? And this is something I really help my clients with, of state changing, is like, you could have the answers to the test, but if you're not in the right state to accept the answers, then there's no point of giving it to you, you know?
Yep.
And I got some good valuable nuggets from her that I still use. And I think they are great, but it just didn't necessarily help me. You know,
at the time. But so hindsight being 2020, you look back and you're like, okay, these are some things that I can
correct
and apply now that I'm out of the fog. Now that I, you know, now if you take a step back and look at the big picture, there are things that are there. But in the time, it did, and many folks can relate to this. Folks mm-hmm. who suffer with anxiety and or depression, you know, they're not the same thing, but they get loaded in anxiety/depression. Many folks who suffer with these things, you might not in the time be able to take any tools at that point.
It was as if we were speaking different languages. I was like, this person just does not understand me. And I felt like probably from her point of view, she's like, he's not understanding me. And it was just a unstable marriage. You know, it was something that was probably a right thing at the wrong time, mm-hmm. you know, or the wrong state that I was in. And eventually that only made me feel worse because I was like, what is going on? Like, I talked to my family. I thought I was going to feel better about that. It helped, but I didn't think it, I didn't feel that it helped at the time. And then I did therapy. That didn't work. I even called the hotline. I was like, I'm at my lowest point. Let me call the hotline. And that didn't help. I was like, what do I do? So it was,
oh, man, that is,
at the time, it was not a question of if, but when I was going to make the decision that you can't come back from. And that's what it was like.
Can you put yourself in that place again right now? Like, can you go to that place and remember exactly how it felt and the darkness of it? And like,
oh yeah.
I was there with you if you decided to be.
Absolutely. I could see it as clear as day. It's I had this pure hatred towards myself. I felt like I failed. I felt like a loser. I felt hopeless. I felt like there was no point to anything anymore, that I couldn't do anything that I wanted to do originally. It was so bad to a point where like I couldn't look at my own face in my mirror. Like I couldn't look at my reflection because I just didn't like the person. I hated the person I saw. So I would intentionally look down. I would not make eye contact with the mirror. It was so bad. And like with this, I got like a lot of anxiety, a lot of social anxiety. Yeah. Where I was so afraid to go outside to my mailbox to get the mail because I was afraid somebody was going to see me. So there are times where like I had to get the mail. I got so anxious. I put in my headphones. I put over my hood. I listened to music. I just looked down. And I was like, let me just truck to the mailbox as fast as I can. Let me go back to the house as fast as I can. Let me try to make no contact with any living person. And let me just go back to my room. And
I don't want to put words in your mouth here, but the idea of, you know, you start feeling here and then it starts to be that downward spiral and there's an awareness knowing that the actions that you're doing are leading to your life coming apart and things that you used to be able to do, you're no longer able to do. You don't know where the bottom of that place is going to be. Mm-hmm. And you're watching it happen. And there's that logical part of your mind that is sitting there as the helpless passenger while this is happening and you're seeing your life literally coming down. The question I have for you, because we're going to get to the redemption. Don't worry, folks, we're getting to the redemption. Clearly the guy who's talking to us today is not that guy, right? But a question that I want to ask you right now at this point, and I don't even know if it's possible. I mean, everybody who goes through these journeys of clinical depression, whether it's situational or chemical, whatever it is, you know, if you had something right now in your current present state, knowing what you have gone through, is there something now that if you could have said it to that guy in that time, is there a sentence or two that you would try and say to that person knowing what you know now? Or is it one of those things where you just got to wait for the ride? Okay, what would you have said?
I would have told the younger version of myself those couple years ago, I would say, hey, everything you're learning or trying to do is right, but you're not in the right state. Your physiology has a direct correlation to how you feel. If you change that, you will feel different.
And so that's okay to not be okay. Mm-hmm. And if we can just make some steps to be okay, you will be okay. So almost a reassurance at that point there that it's all right to be in the state that you're in right now and it can get better. That kind of a message?
Yeah, it's 100% normal to feel that way of how I was back then. Because, I mean, I feel like it wouldn't be human if I didn't feel that way. Right. And what I would just tell myself is like, hey, it's going to be okay. But if you just do this, if you change your state, it will be the world. It will save you. I promise you. And that's, if I had a time machine, I'd go back. That's what I'll say to him.
And it's different than saying, hey, cheer up. Hey, snap out of it. Like your state, changing your state is different than that advice, you know, and I want to be clear about that. So, but that being said, easier said than done, especially when you don't know, especially you don't know how far the downward spiral is going to go, that kind of a thing. At what point were you at your lowest and what was it that, began the process of changing your state?
I would say throughout the year, it just progressively got worse. So in the summertime and the fall time, that's where I was like about to do it, right? I was like, I can't do it anymore, you know? So I had everything, you know, quote unquote, planned out, you know, it was, you know, ready to go. And what saved me, I honestly think, was like this divine timing, you know, regardless of what anyone might believe or not believe, you know, I think like there was something out there that said like it's not your time, you know. And for me, it started with a lunch. My family was like, hey, come out to lunch. And I was like, I didn't say this actually, but in my head I was like, screw you, I'm not going to lunch. It's hard to leave my bedroom, let alone go out to lunch with you guys. I'll pass. And they're like, just come out to lunch. They broke me down. I went to lunch with my brother, my sister, my mom. My dad was busy at the time. And I was, again, I'm not communicating. Like, I don't want to. And I just feel so awkward and embarrassed and out of place. So I'm just there eating my little salad, just waiting for the meal to be over. And then towards the end of the meal, my brother was like, hey, ride with me. Because at the time I rode with my mom. Because at the time, and this is something else that made me feel like a loser and like hope and hopeless and whatnot, is because I lived with my parents at the time. And that made me feel even worse. So at the time, when I went to lunch, I rode with my mom. So my brother was like, hey, come ride with me and we'll go to the house together. I was like, okay. So we're in the car and we park in the driveway. He's like, hey, I'm your brother and I will do anything for you. You're my brother. Would you do anything for me? I was like, yeah, of course. He's like, okay, I want you to do me a favor. I was like, crap, why did I say that? So he's like, I need you to do me a favor. I was like, okay, what? He tells me, I want you to go on a trip. And I was like, what? Like, am I hearing you correctly? Like, do you know how hard it was to go out to lunch with you guys? L Now you want me to leave? Like, what? No. He's like, just hear me out. And the next few sentences he told me, I think, put me on the path to finding my light at the end of the tunnel, right? So he told me, he was like, listen to this. At this point, what do you have to lose? And I let those words sink in for a sec. And I was like, I mean, he's kind of right. You know, there's literally nothing I can lose at this point because I felt like I lost everything originally. So I let those words sink in more and more. And this was a weird coping mechanism or weird thing I found comfort in. I don't recommend it, but this is something that gave me comfort at the time. And I said to myself, if this little trip thing doesn't work out, I know what I can do. I know I can still clock out. So I was like, let me give it a shot.
Where was the trip to? Like, what was it? Did he have the trip in mind? Like, did he know what it was? Was it something that?
It was very unplanned, but what he told me, he was like, okay, first off, you want to go on a trip? And I was like, okay, sure. And there was something, I'm sorry, before we get to that, like the details, like the destination, there was something I just have to say. Is that when I kept thinking about I had nothing to lose, I said a couple things to myself and I did a couple things that really told me to say yes, right? And if I didn't do these things, then I probably wouldn't be here today talking to you. I told myself over and over again, I just shifted my focus from just thinking about my depression all the time, focusing on the life I have, and instead I shifted my focus to a couple words, which were, I don't want to die. And I said that to myself over and over again in that car. Like, this is still it was in that conversation. And I kept saying to myself, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I don't want to go anywhere. And I just kept saying it over and over again. And then I
And you knew that to
also,
be true, even though you're at this moment, you had these
yeah.
ideations, all that stuff. You knew there was a part in view that was reflexively not wanting that. So it's
Yes.
almost like you pondered it to your soul and you realized you didn't want it. And now you started articulating it.
Correct. Because it was like, at the time, it was not so much like, oh, I really want to die, but it was like, I don't want this pain anymore. I don't know how to get rid of it. So here's how I'll get rid of it. And I never wanted to go anywhere, but I didn't know a way out. But I just shifted my focus. And I just said, I really don't want to go anywhere. And I just started focusing on what the idea would be like of living. And then I focused on what I like to call my little flame. I imagined like a little match being struck, and there's this tiny little fire. I envisioned this. I don't know where this came from, but I just envisioned this tiny little flame from a matchstick. And I resonated with that. And I said, that's the real me down there somewhere. It's like in my gut. I felt it in my gut. And I said, there's this tiny little flame that represents the real Carlo. That's the funny guy. That's the guy who makes the jokes. The guy who wants to help people. Like, he's down there somewhere. It's the real him. It's just very, very small.
Yeah.
And I kept focusing on this little freaking flame. I don't know where this came from. But as the more I focused on it, the bigger it grew. And then I said, okay, I'll go on a trip. And like all that was processing through my mind after he asked me that question. So then I was like, okay, well, first off, do you want to go alone or do you want to go with me? I was like, please don't let me go alone. So he's like, okay, I'll go with you. Where do you want to go? Somewhere hot, somewhere cold. I was like, I mean, it's November right now in Virginia and it's not really feeling too great. I want to go somewhere warm. He's like, okay, what's the first place you can think of that's warm? I was like, I don't know, Florida. He's like, okay, say no more. I'll give the details tonight. So then the entire day passes, and then all of a sudden I get a text on my phone. Plane tickets to West Palm Beach, Florida. We've never heard of West Palm Beach. He just picked it because it sounded attractive. We didn't know what to do, what was going on down there, where exactly it was located on in Florida, but he just picked it because it sounded cool. And immediately, so that was on a Sunday, and we were leaving on a Tuesday. So we're in the airport, and we have a layover in Charlotte. And in the layover, I was like, oh my God, we just got off the plane, the first one. I was like, I want to go home. Like, this was a mistake. Why did I agree to this? He's like, come on, we'll be fine. And then eventually we get to Florida. And then honestly, that whole first day, I don't really remember a whole lot. I just remember wanting just to stay in the room, wanting just to do nothing. But we were out and about, we were walking, you know, we were taking in the sights. And then my brother's like going on about like, oh, let's do jet skis, let's rent bikes, let's do this, let's do that. And I was like, dude, I don't want to do any of that stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I just want to, like, if we're here, can I just go in the room, right? Let me just watch TV in the hotel room.
Yeah.
And as that night progressed, it was nighttime. And we walked all the way to the border. We walked to the beach. And there was a little like bench there. And we both sat down on the bench, like right before the sand. And I was just like, dude, I don't want to do anything. Like, can we please go home? I was pleading to go home.
Yeah.
And he was like, let's just stay here longer. So then the next day, we kind of repeat the same process. We're just pretty much doing nothing just to pass the time. Like, we buy a pack of cards and we're just playing like Go Fish in the park or something like that. And I was like, what do we do now? And then he's on his phone, and he's – I hate my brother for this, but I love him at the same time because he's not the best communicator, and he won't tell me anything. So he's like, okay, I found us something to do. It's like – it starts at like 5 or 6 o'clock. We're going to go to it. And I was like, what is it? He's like, don't worry about it. I was like
– yeah, because when you're depressed, you love surprises, don't you?
Right? This is only making me feel worse. Like, my anxiety is going through the roof at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, just follow me. Just walk with me, and we're going to go here. And I was like, where are we going? So we're walking. And I'm like, where are we going? What is this thing we're going to do? Is it dinner? It's like 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. Are we getting drinks? What are we doing? And then all of a sudden, we're at the stoplight, and we're right in front of the West Palm Beach Convention Center. Mm-hmm. And then I see like the billboard, the marquee, like standing up from out of the ground. And I see Tony Robbins.
No kidding.
And I was like, are you serious? We didn't know he was going to be down there. We didn't know he was having an event. So when I told
there's a part of you in the background going, oh, I like this. Like, that's something that you.
Yeah. Because I was
my former life before this happened. Yeah.
Yeah. I've always been like a fan. I've always been part of personal development. I read books, like not just his, but like just. Of everyone, I'm just into that.
Yeah.
And I remember specifically walking, like seeing the sign, seeing there's like these like stickers like pasted on the concrete, and like seeing his face. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, so you bought tickets? He's like, yeah. And again, like I didn't know what to think, you know. So apparently we were there at the right place at the right time, you know, and that's why I said the divine timing thing. Yeah. But yeah. Even when we were there, like the first day, I kind of had this conversation with myself. We're in this room of like 10,000 people, and I was just sitting there, and I was like,
yeah, I gotta ask this. Did he know Tony was there? Like, was this okay? So he didn't, when you say divine timing, it's literal. It's not, you know, I know Tony Robbins is down there. You said somewhere sunny, so we're going to go there. It was literally you're down there and he sees it.
Yeah. Yeah. He like, he was like, legit. He Googled what to do in West Palm Beach. And like, that was like one of the first things that popped up on like TripAdvisor or something. Like, oh, here's an event that's happening. It was
the
crazy,
greatest,
man.
The greatest personal development, of our speaker of our time happens to be there at this time.
Yeah.
You know, and okay.
It was mind blowing. And then, but like before it started, like I'm in this room with all these people and I'm just sitting there in my chair feeling like the only person in the room. And I just had this conversation with myself and I was like, I hope, because I took a leap of faith doing this, you know, coming even on this trip. Now we're here. I'm like, okay, this is something. But I had this conversation with myself. I was like, I hope this isn't like a concert or like an event, like a vacation. Because you know how like
Comic-Con.
Yeah. Like, you know, like you go to like a concert or a vacation, like you have a good time. But then when you leave, it's like, oh, back to reality. Mm-hmm. And I feared that so much. I was like, I hope it's not like that. Mm-hmm. Boy, I'm so glad I was wrong. Because throughout that experience, throughout that seminar, through those like 4 or 5 days, I literally learned how to change my life. I literally found that guy again. You know, I walked in suicidal and I walked out with a purpose. And that's why like one of my phrases is...
That's the soundbite right there.
Like, I legit told myself I went from depressed to obsessed in that week.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. It was bananas.
Just suddenly it's like the light was off and now the light is on. Like, you know, turn around. And that's funny how it can happen like that. I've had many accounts from people who have said that it is literally like a light switch turning on. There are some who say it's a progression. You got to take step by step by step there. You know, it's not universal. So for folks who, you know, have folks in their life who are in this state, yourself. And again, these are anecdotal stories. You know, we want to be very, very clear in the disclaimer portion of what it is that we're talking about here. We're not counselors. We're just two guys sharing our stories and our experiences and what happened. But that being said, for you, it was a light switch. It was this one epic event that happened that just suddenly your viewpoint on life was now different. You were looking in one direction. Now you're looking in another direction.
And 100%.
At that point, was that the last time you had any ideation of that? And that was it?
Yeah. So okay. I legit felt legit like as good as new. And then throughout like the years, like last year, like there was a time where I was like, man, I don't know if I'm doing these things right. But never at that point where I was, but like I have the tools now to know what to do. But never anything like that. Like that's never happened before.
Well,
like,
and that's an important thing. It's not like you don't have struggle. We still have struggle. I mean, and you know, you gotta make the bed that you didn't make and you still slept in. You gotta figure out how to crawl yourself and figure out some of these steps. But many times people think that process of repair is insurmountable. It's not. You just, it's one step at a time. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. You just need to start biting. And it sounds like at that point there, that's when you started taking nibbles of things. And guess what? You start progressing. Is that accurate?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And I feel just better equipped now. You know, it's like you can't give a toddler calculus. You just can't do that. Like it's not going to compute. Yeah. But if you progress, if you little by little get some more nuggets, like now what I try to do is I dedicate something, some time just to learn, just to be better, just to not only help myself, but to help people I serve too. Because I feel like the better I can be, I just want to spread that and shout it from the mountaintop. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that I've learned and helps with me, and in the He Changed It app, actually, there's a mechanism when you go into the He Changed It app and you say, how's your day? You know, and it's all the way from like shitty all the way up to I'm doing great or whatever. And if you're not feeling good, if you're feeling meh, whatever, you click it and it gives you some sort of a response. And I know one of the responses is when you're not feeling good, here's an action. Go find somebody and brighten their day a little bit somehow, some way, whether they're doing good or not, just go find somebody and brighten their day. And there's an exchange and an energy exchange that happens. And even I found if I am in those depth places, maybe not down at that rock bottom place, but in the places of these things, actually one little step is going to help somebody else who is feeling, however it is they're feeling, you make their day a little better. Wherever they're at, just help them go up one notch. And we get a reciprocal exchange from that. Do you find that as well?
Absolutely, I do. I think, I mean, that's a law, like the law of reciprocity, whether if you use it like in like sales and whatnot, but I think it's just like in general, it's just like from a spiritual level, from a soul level, it's like when somebody does something nice for me, it's just, it makes me want to do something like for somebody else. Like a couple weeks ago, I met my brother at a park. We were just enjoying nature, taking a walk, and we're sitting on a park bench and we're just talking about like the stuff we like to talk about. We're talking about AI, ChatGPT, like, oh, what's gonna happen? And then all of a sudden, like this, like this, like lovely, like little older lady comes walking by and she's just like, smiling at us. She's like, oh my gosh, you guys are just so handsome. I can tell you guys are brothers. Are you twins? And we're like, no, we're 2.5 years apart, but like, thank you for the compliment. And like, that just made me feel so good. That made my day and it just made me want to do something for somebody else. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it could be you're at the drive-thru and you're getting a coffee, you know, and you pay for the next guy or gal behind you, you know, whatever it might be, that little things like that, or a random, the random kindness, you never know how far the random kindness is going to go. And it can create momentum for yourself, not just somebody else. It's very interesting, that pay it forward concept. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a big fan of stand-up and whatnot. I just watched, rewatched John Mulaney's new special. You know, he had a little speed bump in life, and he did a, you know, addiction and all that kind of stuff. And then he came back and did his first comedy special and talks about that. And he talks about the people who intervened in his life. Mm-hmm. And it's 12 people in that case. And he makes jokes about now he's got to pay for dinner every single time he goes out for dinner with one of these 12 people, he owes them. I want to talk about the feeling that you have for your brother. You know, cool to hear you guys in a park together after the fact. Talk about the gratitude you have about your brother, you know, taking this action for you. And have you done that for somebody else since then? Because I mean, clearly the position that you're in to have received that, to be so mindful about it and to know how powerful it is. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So not only am I grateful for my brother, but I'm so grateful and indebted to my entire family, you know, my fiance, like, you know, when I'm down.
So she was around when you were in the depths? She was around?
She wasn't, but like, she's seen me in like last couple of years, you know, last year. It's just like, sometimes I struggle. Sometimes I'm not feeling like myself. And she's like, hey, I'm here with you. You know, so I have to give a big shout out to my fiance and just my whole family. You know, when I was like in the depths, like my family was like, they were my rock, you know, and my brother, my family, my mom, dad, brother, and sister, like they just wanted to find a way to fix the problem. Like, what can we do? How can I help you? Is there something you want, need, et cetera? What can we do? We're in this together. Like, that's just how it is. Like, sorry if you don't like it, but we're in this together and we're going to get out of it together. And that was just something that I'm very fortunate to have. I know a lot of people don't have that particular like familial unit, you know, that's like very close. Like, we're always in each other's lives. Like, tomorrow I'm hanging out with my family, you know, we're going to my nephew's birthday party. Like, that's just like, we need to be in each other's lives, you know? So I'm very grateful to them. And as far as your question is, like, I try my best to reciprocate, you know, I try my best to, if I'm trying to help somebody, look at it through the lens of me helping myself. Like, if I see some, like, if I'm talking to you right now and let's say you're not doing so well, I see you as the guy 2 years ago, as me, you know. So I just try my best to help. So whether it be the clients I help, you know, getting out of that hole like I was in, that makes me feel really good. Because the way I like to explain it is, like, We're both playing a game. I'm just a few levels ahead of you. And I know where the boss is. I know where the Easter eggs are. I know what to do here. Like, my experience, I just want to give it to you just so you don't have to go through it as long or as hard as I did. You know, so I try in any situation where if I see the opportunity, I want to help. You know, and I've always been that way. But now going through this experience, it's only, like, increased it.
Insane perspective about it before. Again, you know, again, at the beginning of this, we talked about the idea of physical fitness, everybody. It does work. You go work out. And I mean, there's, I mean, whether it's cognitive behavioral therapy, whether it's, it doesn't matter which discipline of personal development or therapy or whatever that you use, there's always a component where the reminder of, hey, exercise helps. And, you know, whether it's on the biological or whatever it is, the distraction part of it, you know, and there's all sorts of ways that we can go down that rabbit hole if we wanted to, but you're a personal trainer, you know, but then you go through this and now you come out, on the other side. The reason I asked about the gratitude is it seems to me that you have paid it forward professionally. You have not, you're not just a personal trainer anymore. You've taken what you've learned and you are amplifying it for everybody else. You've literally built your life around the idea. And I'm not saying, I want to ask about your coaching practice because I don't assume that you just deal with people who have gone through depression, but like you said, you have this extra line of sight because you have gone through it. And I want to know, you know, I assume you had a lot of fulfillment being a personal trainer before. And if the economics were there and all that, you would have been just fine. But it feels to me like the fulfillment that you have right now is quite literally on steroids because it's so many other things. So I want to ask about that and tell me about your practice and what this experience, if this experience didn't happen, would you have evolved into what you're doing right now?
Oh, absolutely not. You know, and it's kind of funny because this
life-changing, literally.
No, absolutely. Cause this, my story, I feel like does go full circle, you know, cause ever since I was a kid, all I wanted to do was help people. You know, I remember just telling my mom that, and she like sometimes reminded me, she was like, oh, when you were a kid, you just want to help people. That's all you would say. And that was a terrible impression of my mom, but that's all I wanted to do. I just never knew how to do it. And I knew, again, all I wanted to do was be successful. I wanted to be a somebody. I wanted to do something great with my life because if I have one, I want to go all out.
So recognition was one of your human needs. Recognition was up there. It was one
absolutely, and I didn't realize the need for significance played such a huge role in my life until I came to my realization. I was like, oh my God, because I told myself, I was like, I need to achieve the impossible in order for me to believe I could do anything. So I told myself, like, if I get the 6-pack, then I can do anything. If I can create the business, then I can do anything. You know, if I can do X, Y, and Z. And I didn't realize that that need for significance drove me so much.
Yeah.
And I felt like a nobody. Yeah. I felt like I didn't
Because you could
love
never
myself.
Get there. You were always chasing the dragon.
Exactly. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when I was like, oh my God, like that's a big reason why I felt that way. It's because I needed to feel significant. Even though I was already significant, I just didn't see it.
Yes.
And being doing my coaching practice, being a personal trainer at the time, I was like, yeah, this is a way I can help people. But it was very fulfilling. Don't get me wrong. It was great. I love helping people. Yep. It was brilliant seeing the transformations they were having.
Yep.
But then at the time when I went through what I went through, I realized that it goes so, so much more beyond than that. You know, I told myself I wanted to achieve the impossible to prove that I can do it. I didn't realize my impossible was overcoming depression and suicide. And then I was like, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is my purpose. And like legit, a light bulb went off in my head. At that event, I was like, I'm going to help people who are going through what I just went through because nobody deserves that. And I'm going to help shine a light so that way they can see, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah. That's what I want to do. So I kind of like evolved my coaching from personal training and I just did it like life coaching. You know, I wanted to help anyone who is in those depths, in that darkness, just like I was. And I want to help them with what I learned on how I overcame my own depression. And I'm helping people all over the country. You know, it's going worldwide because I'm talking to people in like all these different countries that I never thought I would. And people are inviting me to go on their shows in like London. I'm like, oh my God, like this is cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is amazing. And I'm so glad at the time I wouldn't say this, but I'm so glad I went through what I went through, because I wouldn't be here today talking to you. I wouldn't be helping clients. Like, I wouldn't be here if I didn't go through that.
Okay. For those who are listening or watching this right now, the depths of depression that he went to, the rock bottom moment that he had, did you hear what he just said? He is grateful. He had to go through what he went through to have that smile on his face that is on there right now. If you're listening, you got to see Carlo is got a grin that's ear to ear right now, and it's coming from within because of the satisfaction of where he's at and what he's doing. He could not be where he is now if it wasn't for what he went through, the depths of what he went through. And boy, oh boy, is that one of those things where perspective is everything. You can't be happy if you don't know what the opposite is because you have no context. Therefore, you think about joy at the highest highs, fulfillment at the most satisfactory levels, purpose. Yeah. I use that word a lot on this show. You know, a lot of guys are looking for their purpose and they don't understand mm-hmm. what that is. They haven't had a light bulb moment like what you're talking about. You don't know what those things are unless you've experienced the other side. And many times, for those who are feeling this way right now, are you open to the idea that the exact opposite of how you are feeling right now, on the lowest of the low of the spectrum, the highest of the high on the opposite side, is actually possible? Some people, like we've had a guy on the show who has been literally clinically depressed for 30 years. We're not saying it's everybody who can have this, but he has found fulfillment in life, in his quest to figure it out. And he's fine. It's not like it's suicidal ideation or any of that stuff, but he has found the polar opposite in searching for it. And I'm looking at you right now and saying, look, there are ways that you can get out of the situation that you're in right now and be grateful for the situation that you're in. You may not believe it right now, but there is testament here that that is possible. And are you open to the idea of exploring that that's possible? And that's kind of where it starts. Cause are you open to the idea of a trip? Mm-hmm. Okay. You had said yes. Are you open to the idea of going to this, you know, of letting me lead you to the convention center? Okay. You were open to it. Are you open to the idea of healing, and how important is that? And I mean, I think that just, that's that little baby step. Sometimes that might be the little bite that you just need to eat that day, is just, are you open to the idea of getting better? Mm-hmm. Of and doing something about it, getting better.
Absolutely.
And man alive, it is really cool to see that you saying that you were grateful for those depths is an incredible statement. I just monologued there. Thank you for letting me do that. So at this point here, describe to me what it is that you're doing. And I mean, I said it on the outline. You're a coach. You're a speaker. You're all these things. You talked about some of the adventures you've been on. What does that look like? How can people get a hold of you? That sort of thing. There might be people who are listening to this story going, my gosh, I want to relate. Mm-hmm. And we're at the place right now where if somebody hears you on this show, you're still relatable. You're not at that level where, you know, you hear somebody on Rogan and, mm-hmm. and you relate to them, but it's real hard to get to those people.
Yeah.
You're still at that place where people can get at you with social media and things like that. And so let's talk a little bit about what your life looks like now, what you do for people now, and what the process is.
Of course. So right now, you know, I'm a men's coach. You know, I help everyone, of course, but, you know, I help people who are just more relatable to me. And my whole journey was I felt like I lacked purpose. I felt like I didn't know what to do with my life. I felt hopeless. I had a lot of self-doubt. And I just said, like, what am I supposed to do with my life right now? You know, mm-hmm. And for me to now speak here on the show, be on the exact opposite side, all I want to do is just help people, you know, whether it be find that purpose, overcome that self-doubt, those limiting beliefs you tell yourself, you know, get your confidence back, find hope. Then I want to help you. You know, I want to serve you and I want to do the best I can, because that's what I do for my clients right now. And it is a blessing, because I had one of my clients a month ago, I think, we had one call together. He's like, dude, I'm not depressed anymore. And I was like, oh my God. Like, and it tugged at my soul. Like, I there's no words to describe how good, not only it felt for him, but how it felt for me to help somebody. So if anyone who's listening to this, you know, and maybe this is like your leap of faith moment, you know, maybe this is like the conversation in the car I had with my brother. Like, if you're listening to this, maybe this is the time where it's like, you need to take that leap of faith. You need to say, I have nothing to lose at this point. And if that's the case, I would love to help you. I invite you so I can teach you what I learned, and, you know, with the help of HeCast, this amazing platform to help people in your position, go ahead, look for me on Instagram. My name is Carlo Taramina. Beautiful Italian name. It'll probably be in the show notes, but Carlo Taramina _ life coach. That's where you can find me. Just drop a heart in my DMs. I will answer you because I love talking to people. I love serving people. And if you drop a heart in my DM, I will have an honest and open conversation with you because it's a safe place to speak. And I would love to show you what I learned, and I can't wait to help and speak to you.
You know, Carlo, it's so funny how many times people focus on the destination, whatever that destination might be, whether you're physically traveling and you're not looking at the what's going on around you. You're just thinking about making good time to get to the destination. Mm-hmm. Or the you know, kind of the metaphysical or the spiritual version of what that might be. You know, the journey is the beauty. And I mean, I see you being as a guy like with He Changed It, we know where we're the trajectory of where we're going and what's happening and this show and things like that. And I got to tell you, I love still being at the place where anybody can reach out, mm-hmm. and you can talk to the anybody, because I'm an anybody. And when I can talk to people that I connect with and they can interact back with me, and it's not just one of their staff members or a filter that they have to be, because they've gotten to the point where they're so big that that's
like
just
AI.
It's a system that they have to put in place, you know, because, you know, that's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's just the cycle of how business works or how life works and how these things work. Mm-hmm. But many times when people get to that place, I know some of the mentors in my life are at that place, and I'm lucky enough to have them as a mastermind group, a member or a mentor, and they talk about the place that you're in right now. Mm-hmm. They talk about, you know, my wife and I, we've written one book and we're going to write another one. And the title of it already is Grateful in the Grind. And many times people are thinking about what the grind is going to lead to, what you're grinding, what you're building. Mm-hmm. And that's all they focus on, when really at the end of the day, being grateful in this part of it is where the magic many times is. You're clearly, clearly grateful in the grind right now. And you want to interact with as many people as you possibly can. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that vulnerability. And I mean, I don't know if you were vulnerable before. I know a lot of, I have got quite a few trainers that are in my life, personal trainers that are in my life. And there are many words that I can use, commonality words, to describe these people. Vulnerable isn't necessarily one of them. Were you, when you were just a physical, I didn't say just a physical trainer, when all you did at that point was be a physical trainer, were you a vulnerable guy, or did you learn vulnerability through this process?
That's a good question. I would say it's a mixture of both, because I've always been like a sensitive guy and I've always been very expressive, but mm-hmm. I would say that it's only grown going through.
Well, you can be empathetic without being vulnerable. Like you can be empathetic, but you can be closed off. Like, were you, because you're so open right now. You're such an open book to talk about this stuff. Could you do that before?
Not as much, like very little. Okay. Like I was still in that empathetic stage, but like I was still at that point where I could express myself, but I could go like all in. Like I would never, you know, and that's kind of like the stereotypical like man thing to do, is like, you know, you never show your vulnerabilities, and like I did it.
And you couldn't tell your family you were depressed, right? Like you were, you know, you closed off, right?
Yeah.
Now it seems like you're so open. And how, where I was going with that was, how does it serve you? How much does it serve you to be open versus closed? A lot of guys who are listening to this right now that aren't saying anything, they're really closed off, mm-hmm. but they're hearing these words right now. And I just, how important is it to be able to kind of open up that vulnerability gate?
It serves me to help serve others, if that makes sense, because I feel like I would be doing a disservice to anybody listening who's going through the same thing. Because if I just kept myself closed off, that would almost kind of like give permission for all the other guys to stay closed off, because that's like the norm. Mm-hmm. For me, I think it is a disservice not to share my story, because somebody out there can probably listen to this, resonate with it, relate to it, and say, oh my gosh, he sounds just like me. Mm-hmm. So if I had never shared my story, I couldn't help that person, you know? And I feel like anybody who can help somebody else, it would be a disservice not to share your gift, to share your story. And it just helps me even more. You know, I'm an open book, you know. It's like,
yeah.
At first it was kind of hard to talk about because it's very emotional, but I feel like at this point it's like you get burned enough times, you're going to build, or you lift the barbell enough times, you're going to get some callus, you know? And now it's just like, I'm just good at it now. You know, I'm used to telling my story. It's still very emotional, but like, I've been through this before, you know, and it's just becoming a thing that I just do on a cycle, like on a regular basis, you know? So it's,
once you learn to ride the bike, you ride the bike and you just ride it. And that's how it is.
You don't think about it
now. Yeah. You don't even think about it. And this is very similar. You do, you know, and there's a lot of guys who hear this that are so closed off. They might be living with maybe a secret guilt, shame, fear, whatever that might be, thinking that they're alone. Mm-hmm. First off, they're not alone. There's no new problems out there. There's no, there's nothing new under the sun. As the book says, you know, it's all been there before. Not knowing that we're not alone, and knowing that actually opening up about it or whatever will make things better, as insurmountable as it may seem. Right? I'm preaching to the choir on that.
No, 100%.
You're a living testament of that.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. I totally agree with that.
Okay. So as we kind of get to the close, I mean, these things go so fast. They go so fast. Oh my gosh. As we move to the close, and thank you for talking about this, and it's not all the dark stuff. Sometimes it's the stresses of life. Sometimes purpose is the big one. I mean, lack of purpose is one of the reasons why he changed it exists in the first place. It was one of the things, talking about all these guys who do suffer, you know, a lot of middle-aged men are suffering with these afflictions because they've never looked at purpose, what purpose is in their life. They've never done this introspective work. Now let's be a little bit more surfacey, you know, for the guys that are out there grinding it out, you know, wherever they are in life, are there any, if you were to give like one or two little kind of maybe breadcrumbs on a trail they might go to the meal that they want, any one or two things that you would kind of throw out there? Are there commonalities to your coaching where you're like, you know what, this client, I've said the same thing to all of these different people?
Yes. And I would say two things. One, I would say you can use your pain and turn it into your purpose. Because that's what I did.
There you go.
And a lot of people may not see that, you know, because they may say to themselves, I don't know what to do. Maybe you're going through this for a reason, right? Like maybe you are specifically going through this because this is going to be your purpose. This is what the universe has designed for you, like it did for me, right? So maybe your pain is your purpose. And maybe you not sharing your story is a disservice to the younger version of yourself, or the guy who's in another state from you who needs help and he needs you. So sharing your pain, turning it to your purpose, and helping others, that could be one that can lead to a great purpose. And another thing I would say, and this is what I tell my clients, this is something that I did myself too, is I created a list with different bullet points. And the list consists of everything I love, everything I'm passionate about, everything I envision that I want for my life, and everything I hate. And I use this list as like a guide. Like, this is the real me. This is self-awareness on paper. This is what I love. This is what I'm passionate about. This is what I want to do. Let me give it a shot. Especially now in 2024, where we can literally do anything. Like, now is the perfect time. You know, probably the one or two things that you told yourself you wanted to do when you were a kid or teenager, that's probably a good place to look. Mm-hmm. You just want to explore that.
Mm-hmm. What's on the list again? Go over it again.
Yeah, so what's on the list? I write, one bullet point is everything I love.
Yep.
Another bullet point is, what am I passionate about?
Yep.
Another bullet point is, what do I really want to do? What excites me? Mm-hmm. If I can envision my life in a year from now, what do I want
to
do?
No filter. Just throw it down there. Don't worry about confines, reality, that sort of thing.
Exactly.
Just throw it down there. Okay, yeah.
And then the last bullet point is everything I hate.
Is this a living list? Is this a list that you're constantly crossing things off and putting things on? Is this something that you update? Is this something that you just go back to and it basically stays the same?
I mean, for me, it can sometimes change. Like, so for me, for example, if I made this list a couple years ago, it's, oh, I wanted to be a great personal trainer. Well, obviously things changed, you know? So it does evolve because we evolve, you know? Okay. And I think for the most part, it stays the same, but some things can change here and there. And I think it is a great thing to do, to be totally self-aware, especially when you go down the list to see everything you hate. Like, that's a blueprint. It's a game plan. Like, my little tools and nuggets I like to give myself, my clients, I say we're building plays for a playbook. We're getting tools in the toolbox.
Yep.
And what you see on paper and you actually look at it, it's tangible. You can read it. You know what to do and what to avoid. So I think that list, I call it the purpose guide. If you get your own little list or purpose guide, that will give you a lot of answers.
I love this. This is fantastic. Thank you so much for taking time. Obviously, you know, you're a friend of He Changed It now. You know, for those of you who haven't downloaded the He Changed It app, please go ahead and do it. Do it now while it's in beta and all that kind of stuff. You're going to see some cool evolutions, that kind of a thing. But you're a friend of He Changed It, of HeCast. I can't wait to stay connected with you and we follow each other's journeys and help each other's journey, that sort of a thing. Now, I want to just finish by talking about the fact that you actually will go and speak corporately. You'll do this as well. Best way to book you, is it on Instagram? Is that the best way to find you and book you?
Yeah, for right now, yeah, on my Instagram.
Okay. And what kind of stuff, if you're going to do a speaking event on the corporate level, what kind of stuff do you do?
Yeah, so especially with corporate level, there's a lot of same things that kind of mirror when it comes to mental health, right? Because it's all about leadership.
Yeah, the workplace could use this too. A workplace could use all of the things you're talking about.
Absolutely. Amen to that. Yeah. Like, it's all about how can I perform at a higher level? How can I improve? Yeah. And especially, like, I noticed, like, with real estate, if I just kind of give you, like, a template, it's like people in real estate, oh, the market's not doing well. Oh, that's going to give me a lot of fear, a lot of doubt. Am I doing my job well? What's going to happen? And there's a lot of mindset shifts. There's a lot of state shifting. There's a lot of focus shifting. There's overcoming those fears and limiting beliefs that you have about yourself, about the company, about the market, about the economy. Those things I help with when I speak, regardless if it's on a corporate level or if it's a specific event regarding mental health. These things can definitely mirror each other in an aspect, shape, or form. And that's what I do when I speak to Fortune 500 companies. That's what I do when I speak to any of these places.
Awesome. I summed up very, very, very well. Man, thank you very much for being you. Thank you for being so vulnerable. Thank you for sharing your story. Obviously, thank you for coming on HeCast today. And I can't wait to see how we evolve and how many people that we can help in that evolution. You know, the benefit or the reaction of us evolving, the net result out of that is helping people. And that is an exciting place to be. You know, Carlo Taromina, thank you so much for taking time to be on HeCast today. And I can't wait for the next time that we meet. This is why we do the show, ladies and gentlemen. This is it. You know, HeCast, He Changed It is literally wanting to change the world. And when you look at what the founders want to do, and I mean, the roadmap of what's happening, there's all sorts of stuff coming in the land of He Changed It. We're very, very excited to do that and to link arms with so many other people who understand that there are issues out here that we can help each other solve together. And all we got to do that is in platforms and whatnot. So if you haven't downloaded the He Changed It app, what are you waiting for? Head to hechangedit.com. You can see the links for whatever persuasion that you have technologically. We would be happy to have you in. And again, we're in beta form right now, but not for long. There's big things happening in this world. That has been another episode of HeCast, the official podcast of He Changed It. My name is Mike Chisholm. Go change something.